Part 2. 14. Bob, August 2144, Epsilon Eridani. There are two technological developments that will affect how we go about exploring the cosmos: communications and transportation. The first and most obvious technology is the drive system. Have we developed faster than light transport? Do we have a reactionless drive? Wormholes? Teleportation? How long it takes to get from A to B affects not only the cost of the enterprise, but whether or not it's even possible to transport people. Unfortunately, in the end, whether or not we do this will depend more on whether we have the political will to do so than anything else. Barring significant advances in technology or some dramatic scientific discovery, the costs will be far too high for anything less than a global effort. Lawrence Veen, from the convention panel, Exploring the Galaxy. I slid into the Epsilon Eridani system at a couple of percent of light speed. I was approaching the system from stellar north, that being the pole where the star, like Earth, was rotating counterclockwise. I took multiple consecutive images of the area around the star, looking for points of light that moved from one picture to the next. At my current velocity, any planets would show significant apparent motion against the backdrop of the galaxy. My mission profile was to look for habitable planets, or, failing that, to look for almost habitable planets that could be modified, or at least lived on with some technical assistance. I deployed SUDAR as well, although it was only able to detect dense objects within a light hour radius. I didn't really expect to find anything. At this distance from the star, even Kuiper objects would be rare. It would take 12 days to cross the system from one end to the other, but I had no intention of coasting for that long. The stellar catalog indicated that there should be at least one Jovian planet, which shouldn't be too hard to locate. As soon as I identified a second planet, I'd have the 3 points necessary to identify the probable ecliptic plane. It took less than 2 days to locate several planets. Given the spacing of their orbits, I doubted that I would find more. The system had 2 inner rocky planets, an inner asteroid belt, the Jovian planet, an outer asteroid belt, and a Neptune-like planet farther out in a highly elliptical orbit. There also appeared to be a significant Kuiper belt much farther out. I wanted desperately to take a look at the 2 inner planets, even at the gas giant for that matter. I was the first person to visit another stellar system, after all. Okay, person was debatable, but I had a limited time to prepare for company and couldn't take time out for sightseeing. Theory held that usable metals would be concentrated in the inner system, plus the inner belt would be quicker to scan with a smaller circumference. Guppy, plot a trajectory that puts us above the inner belt. We'll fly a powered orbit all the way around, scanning for resources.
Aye, sir.
I patted Spike while I examined the schematics floating over my desk. My plan depended on the Brazilian probe coming in like gangbusters. If the other guy decided to play it cagey, I was probably screwed. But if he was armed and figured I wasn't, his best bet would be to engage in direct confrontation as quickly as possible, run me down and shoot me like a dog in the street. I also had a concern that the Brazilian probe might have been playing possum during his solar system departure. Unless he was carrying more missiles than seemed reasonable, my models indicated that he should have been able to push more than 1.25G. I intended to be ready well ahead of his calculated arrival time. I wondered if the Brazilian was deliberately trying to throw me off with the low acceleration value. If he thought he could get here early and take me by surprise, his best strategy would be to coast in real close, then blow the hell out of me. Assuming he could find me, of course. So my best strategy would be to play dumb, then spring a booby trap. But he'd be expecting a booby trap. I hate this. I almost feel like just continuing on to another system. But if the Brazilian gets a chance to start building copies, it becomes a galactic breeding race. And if he comes gunning for me, I'll just end up fleeing from system to system forever. Like it or not, I have to resolve this. Now. Okay, then, Guppy. We've located asteroids with the proper elements. Time to get started. The designers of Heaven 1 had faced a simple problem: how to design a probe as small, light, and bulletproof as possible while giving it the ability to build copies of itself. In all the science fiction that I had ever read, this was handled with a hand wave. The ship, usually alien, simply did it without the story going into details. The solution was 3D printers. I remembered that panel at the convention, and I felt a moment of regret that the speaker would never know how right he had been. The technology was just coming into its own in the early 21st century. A century later, printers could build virtually anything solid, one atom at a time, as long as the raw materials were available. The catch was energy. It took a lot of energy to reduce source materials to their monatomic form, and it took as much energy to drop them into the proper place in the creation matrix. Such 3D printing had had to wait for cheap fusion energy before becoming practical technology. There was also a problem dealing with volatile materials because of all the energy involved. Attempts to print C4 or Semtex, for instance, often failed with spectacular results. Heaven 1 was equipped with multiple printers. I also had a supply of roamers and nanites, purpose-designed to extract mineral deposits from asteroids. And the final item needed to put together a new probe was a small fleet of autonomous cargo carriers, equipped with small reactors and surge drives for transporting miners and materials. A hologram of the Epsilon Eridani system floated over the center of the desk. A bright, curved line indicated the probable approach path of the Brazilian probe. "We will set up here." At my command, a red dot blinked just to one side of the approach path line on the inside edge of the asteroid belt. "We need him to slow down as much as possible. This position will force him to curve north of the edge of the asteroid belt. We want him to be facing at an angle to his approach path when he gets close enough to open fire. He will expect a trap, so we'll have to bury the welcoming committee deep to shield them from a random scan. And I'll have to launch them very late, after he's committed. He'll probably get a chance to fire on me before they get to him, so I need to have something that can hold off some missiles." I looked over at Guppy, who hadn't reacted at all. Not really much of a conversationalist. "How are we for resources?"
"Sufficient material has been located for all construction. Miners are deployed. Factory systems have been unshipped and are ready to begin manufacturing."
"This is going to put us months behind on reproduction. I just hope the other probes don't end up with too much advantage." I sighed and shook my head. "Unbelievable. I'm going to war."
"You are allowing the adversary to take the first shot."
"Yeah, fair enough. Never know, he might open a dialogue." Guppy said nothing, but he did prove that a fish could look skeptical.